Travel is about the journey, not the destination, we often hear quoted in travel magazines. The adage is particularly lived out today in experience travel, where people want to bike, drive vintage vehicles, zip line, or hike from destination to destination. The Way of Santiago de Compostela has enjoyed a massive resurgence over the past few years, now traveled by faithful and agnostic alike. Pilgrims have long known the importance of the journey, especially those who set out from as far away as Canterbury in Paris to make the long trip to Rome and beyond. Indeed, some of history's greatest literature is about the pilgrimage journey, from Chaucer's Canterbury Tales to Dante's Divine Comedy. Hi, I'm Liz Lev, and I'm an art historian, and you're listening to the podcast From Tourists to Pilgrims. 1,000-plus years of papal rule in Rome allowed the Church to think about how to transform the Eternal City into a microcosm of the journey of the pilgrim. However, unlike that modern adage, the religious pilgrim believes that although the journey is important, what really counts is the destination. Welcomed into the city from the Piazza del Popolo, the pilgrim of the Holy Year took the road to the far right, leading down Via della Ripetta along the riverbank to Via dei Coronari. Via dei Coronari was a dead straight street that led directly to a crossing point in the river. It was lined with shops selling religious articles, particularly rosaries, also called corone, which is what gave its name to the Coronari, the street of the rosary bead sellers. Reaching the end of this road, one of the very few bridges until the modern era appeared. This was the Pons Aelia, built by Emperor Hadrian in the 2nd century AD to provide access to his great mausoleum. The mausoleum had already transformed its purpose back in the 7th century when it became the Castle of the Holy Angel for an apparition of St. Michael the Archangel during a devastating plague of Rome. The castle, by now turned into a fortress, seems like a gateway, guarded by an angel that was first sculpted by Raffaello di Montelupo, brandishing his sword, challenging those who wished to pass. Today, looking up, the 18th century angel by Flemish sculptor Peter Anton von Verschaft resheathes his sword, an image of peace. The 17th century saw that bridge embellished with statues of angels produced by Bernini and his ever-busy studio. Unlike the sculptures so admired by tourists, such as Pluto and Persephone or David in the Galleria Borghese, where Bernini's figures are rooted strongly to the ground, these late works by the deeply devout sculptor represented angels hovering, their elongated figures appearing to rest lightly on billowing clouds below their rustling draperies, as if they would only be present for a moment before they whisk back to their place in the heavens. These angelos, or messengers, brought a specific meditation to the pilgrim crossing the bridge. Each one holds an instrument of Christ's passion, whether the crown of thorns or the headboard tacked above Christ's cross, or the dice used to play for the Lord's clothes as he stood dying. Each one of these angels reminds the pilgrim of the high cost of redemption and how difficult the way was for Christ compared to the discomforts and inconveniences we may suffer on our pilgrim's journey. At the end of this path, a narrow road, now replaced by the massive Via della Conciliazione, brought the pilgrim closer and closer to his or her destination, the presence of St. Peter in the massive basilica which bears his name. Breaking through the knot of buildings in the little village called the Borgo nestled around the basilica, in 1660 the pilgrim stood in the extraordinary space of St. Peter's Square. They were swept into the great oval designed by Bernini, and the pilgrim was confronted with the obelisk of Caligula. Once perceived as a sunbeam by the Egyptians, then used as a marker in the circus where St. Peter died. That obelisk became the silent witness testifying to Peter's death almost 2,000 years ago. The wings of the colonnade sweep out on either side, forming an oval embrace where 175,000 pilgrims could be gathered together in the presence of the successor of St. Peter, the Pope, Christ's vicar on earth. Surrounded by statues of the saints above the colonnade, of men, women, young, old, lay, religious, people from all walks of life and places, these saints represented the destination of the journey, heaven. The holy men and women who had already crossed the threshold of heaven were ready to show the pilgrims the final step of the way, no longer a voyage over seas and plains, but a journey from this life to the afterlife. Turning from this exceptional church and its 2 millennia of witness to holiness, the pilgrim found that the arms of the colonnade open so that he or she could go back out into the world and tell others how to find the true way and the true life.